give you an outline, but I've kind of promised you I'd give you some notes to help you follow along as I give the lesson. So that's what you're receiving right now. You know, last Lord's Day morning, I gave a lesson on 12 sins of the tongue, and I only got through 6 of them, and I didn't continue that lesson this morning. I think 3 people asked me walking out the door, "Are you going to finish that lesson on those that dirty dozen tongue sins?" And I said, "Well, I thought you got the idea, but I guess you want to hear more about backbiting and gossip and slander." So maybe somewhere in the future I'll just pull those notes out again and give you the rest of that sermon. But tonight we're going to continue the lesson on fear. Now, we didn't get very far a couple Sunday nights ago, but we mentioned 2 different kinds of fear. Fear commanded, that's that proper respect and honor and reverence toward God. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God. So there's a fear that we need to have present in your life and mine, and that's that proper respect for God. Fear that's forbidden is that trying to live your life with dread or alarm or fright or apprehension or anxiety that's undue, or there's really not a cause for it. It's a fear that causes distrust. We don't want that. In Psalm 91, the opening verses, that I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Verse 5 says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. So there's certain things in life that we should not fear. So there's a fear that we should have and a fear that we should not have. Also, we noted in last week's lesson, or 2 weeks ago, the key to overcoming fear is our faith. Looked at several verses, but one in Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. We can be delivered from fears. Then we noted also some areas where fear operates. One is fear of failure. We use the story of the parable of the talents. The one man received but one talent, and he went and hid it. And his phrase that he used back to the master was, I was afraid. I didn't use what you gave me because I was afraid. And then, but Jesus or the master said, you knew that I reap where I did not sow. We want to use what we have, even if in our mind it seems insignificant. In the hand of God, it can work wonders. So we don't want to be afraid of failing. Don't let that stop us from doing something. We also notice fear of the unknown. And we even have songs about that. We just wonder about, what about tomorrow? And even one of our songs says, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. Then we come to our lesson this evening. It's number 3 in your notes under section number 3 with the parenthesis. We could also fear responsibility. Similar to fear of failure, some of us don't want the responsibility for tasks that are given to us or even for some situations that are announced. We need some positions filled. We might say even legitimate excuses. Sometimes I don't have the time. I can understand that. Someone says, I lack the knowledge, or I don't have support, or a fear of being the lone ranger. I just don't want to work by myself. But we don't want to shirk from all responsibility. So I put in your notes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse beginning of verse 9. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to what he has not. For I mean not that other men be eased, but and that ye be burdened. So he's simply saying that if you have a willing mind for the task, you just do the task that you're capable gallant man. Brave just to use what he had. And that was all that was required of them. You don't have to do what the five talent man had. You just use the one that you have. But he was so afraid, he said, I didn't even use that one. And Jesus encouraged the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but the encouragement was, I'm with you in this. I'm with you. Moses reminded Israel when just before they went into the promised land why they had to wander for 40 years. Deuteronomy 1:29, he says, then, Moses reminds you, back then, you'll remember, I said to you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. But then the story continues in verse 32. Moses reminded them, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. So sometimes we're just afraid. So we don't tackle the task. Remember when Jesus called his disciples, the encouraging word was in Luke 5 verse 10, fear not. Fear not, from henceforth you'll catch men. Don't be afraid of the task. I'm with you in this. When you become a Christian, you're sometimes asked to do something, but you're not asked to do more than you are able in any area this congregation is involved in. For example, the Christian may say that this Jim is the one that kind of puts the order of worship together and selects men to lead in worship. You may say, well, Jim will say, would you serve in the worship assembly? You may say, well, I want to serve. However, if you put me at the Lord's table, would you put me in a position where I don't have to lead the prayer right now? I am not very adept in that. I don't want to say something before an audience. Still might have that little bit of stage fright. So Jim would certainly honor that request. But because here's someone who said, yes, I want to serve, but I don't want to serve right here, right now. Or sometimes people say, I'll say the closing prayer. Because all you have to do is say, dear God, dismiss us in your care. In Jesus' name, amen. Just one sentence. I can do that. So the idea is to take small steps. So don't let fear rob you of service. Number four, it's fear of old age. I just want old age. I don't I don't think anyway. I just like to see it. Our confetti counters get a lot of attention. The Bible teaches that honor and glory are attached to the aged. Leviticus 19, verse 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. So don't be afraid of getting older. Still fear God. And in Proverbs 20, verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength. The beauty of the old man is the gray head. Jim getting happy. if you didn't think you had any beauty, your hair lends beauty to all of that. But even in Titus, Paul writes to Titus in Titus chapter 2, the first five verses, he speaks to the aged men, the aged women. He still says there's a task that you can do. There's something that a ministry for you to perform. And he addresses it that way, ye aged men and ye aged women. So there's still work according to ability and according to opportunity. So don't be afraid of growing old. Number five, in your notes, I put insecurity. By the way, I'm not going to get finished this lesson tonight either. Don't send out for pizza. I have it delivered. But number five, we fear not just for the word insecurity, but it's the idea of what if. And I ask these questions too. What if? Well, something happens. We want our needs met, but sometimes we might worry and think, what if I lose my job? Or what if I get sick and can't work? What if? Who's going to care for me? How am I going to get by? What if? And those kind of questions. So kind of lends it our insecurity. And in our age, it seems like we're programmed to fear having to do without something. And all the advertisements seem to bombard us with, you need this. And so sometimes in life, we wonder, how am I going to get by if I don't have something? Jesus' view of our possessions is that they were subject in Matthew 6, verse 19. Everything we possess is subject to moth and rust and thievery. I always add to that list the treasures we have are also subject to being lost. the garage and I can't find it. I know I have it, but I don't know where it is. A lot of things in life. But Jesus, in giving that lesson, also gives the priority to things eternal. In Matthew 6, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. See, spiritually, we, on the spiritual side of life, we lack nothing. Nothing. Everything's been provided to get us from here to heaven. We shouldn't be insecure in our faith, in our hope, in the promises that God has given. We shouldn't have a, you know, what-if situation. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed us with all. We're not shortchanged in any way concerning spirituality and getting close to God and to one another and having our sins forgiven with the hope of heaven, with things eternal. There should be an element of confidence in your life and mine. We should have that blessed assurance, that confidence of faith in life. For 2 Peter 1, verse 3, it says, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So while on earth, you know, we help each other out. We try to see that needs are met. Number 6 in your notes, concerning the subject of fear, we can also fear rejection. Sometimes we anticipate a response from others when we ask something of them or from them. And usually we're thinking they're going to reject our request, so we don't even ask. You know, we might even think to ourselves, even before we've asked, we say, well, I know what their reaction is going to be. We're thinking, well, I need to ask for some help, or I need to ask something for some time, or something, whatever it is. But we're thinking to ourselves, I know they're going to say no. We might even think to ourselves, what's the use of even trying when I know I'll be refused? When I was in sales, I had to go door to door in all the industrial parks. I worked for a company called McBee Systems, so bookkeeping forms to small businesses. And I'd have to just go cold calling. You just park your car at one end of the industrial park and put your notebook under your arm and just walk in and ask them, you know, do you want what I have? In so many words. You have to do that all day. And I'd see the sign on the door that said, no soliciting. Well, that didn't mean me. I know they were thinking about somebody else. And even when I went back to my sales manager, I said, you know, Mark, I said, you see all these no soliciting. And he said, Brian, that doesn't mean you. They mean this, these other guys are just kind of peddlers. Because you have a legitimate something to sell. But, okay, Mark. Yeah, and then I walk into one business, and they say, there's a sign on the wall behind the secretary or whoever's there, and the sign says, we shoot every third salesman. The second one just left. So now I'm there. Like, oh. Of course, when I switched jobs, and then I worked for Liberty Mutual Insurance for about 7 years. Had to make a lot of telephone calls, and we always called it dialing for dollars. Fear of rejection again. But the statistic said that you'll get 30 no's before you get one yes. So the sales manager always tried to tell you, you know, every time you got a no, you're one step closer to a yes. Oh, yeah, easy for you to say. I'm the one doing the calling. You know, so I'm thinking, yeah, 1 out of 30, I'm going to get a yes. So what if I get a yes on my first call? But now I have to have 58 more no's before I get another yes. I average 1 out of 30. I think, wow. You try to, I don't know, when I was doing the door-to-door sales for things, I'd try to have some fun with it too. You know, just bounce right in. And I had these flyers I'd hand out. You know, and we don't want what you have. And can I just leave the flyer with you? Would you just show it to the owner? And one lady, she had the secretary's office out there. She opened the door behind her and went back to her boss. And he kind of let the door open. She showed it to the boss, and he just wadded that paper up and threw it down. She came back out with a nice little smile and says, he's not interested. I started to walk away, and I said, if he's not interested, could I have my flyer back? And then, of course, she was pretty quick. She said, oh, no, he'll keep the flyer. I said, okay. But I had my laugh. So. Fear of rejection. Why? Sometimes fear of rejection, you know, keeps us from plodding on, just pursuing our efforts. Spiritually, we don't have fear of rejection. Jesus said it in John 6, verse 37. And him or he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will not reject you if you come to me, God says. And it should be so easy to come to God. Sometimes it's difficult, especially if we want to confess our sins one to another. We fear of rejection. Oh, you're not going to want to hear what I have to say, or you'll have 20 questions. So sometimes I fear going to you with my troubles and trials, and I may already anticipate what you're going to say. But we shouldn't have that fear with God. It ought to be easy to come to God because he already knows our situation. We don't have to explain it to God. You come to me and I have 20 questions. Or maybe the first thing I'm going to say is, how could you? What were you thinking? I wouldn't do that. But not with God. Should be easy to come to God because he already knows the situation you're in. You have no fear of rejection with God. He knows. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So we know what's going to take place when we come to God. Don't fear rejection in that way. The last one I'll use for this evening, and we'll continue this next time. Number 7, fear of what others will say about us. This kind of fear often precipitates wrongdoing. Many times one will join in with the wrong crowd because of their influence. Wonder what they're going to say about me if I don't go along with the program of what they say. Think about Peter after, you know, he said very strong, Lord, you can always count on me. I'll be there for you. But then all of a sudden when Jesus is going through the crucifixion, then Peter is in the enemy camp, and they begin to point at Peter in Matthew 26, the beginning of verse 69. Say, Peter, aren't you one of them? Not me. Fear of what others think sometimes moves us to wrong action. Afraid of what they'll say. They came to Peter the second time. Oh, I know you were one of them. No. The third time, then he had to convince them, then he began to curse his involvement. A relationship with Jesus. In John chapter 12, verse 42, it says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So sometimes we're afraid of what others will say. And it moves us in a wrong direction. In John 19, verse 38, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but still of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. A secret disciple. In Proverbs 29, verse 25, it says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord will be saved. In Isaiah 51, verse 7, we'll close with this one. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. Don't be afraid to let people know on whose side you stand. Don't be afraid of what others will say when you take that stand and let people know to whom you belong. Don't be afraid of that the wrong crowd will reject you. They're the wrong crowd. Always when we assemble together for worship at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. For those, in a couple ways, for those, if you're not a member of the new church, meaning you're not a Christian, not been baptized for remission of sins, we offer that. You may do that. Yeah, all things are ready. You've heard the good news, you believe it, that Jesus Christ is God's Son, you're willing to turn your life around, confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son, you'd be baptized for remission of sins. Maybe one here this evening that while we're gathered here that you want to have a request for prayer, request for encouragement, or forgiveness, or say, brethren, I need your help. This is the time to make that statement or to let that be known so that we can make assistance and offer prayers on your behalf. So that's the invitation we extend. You're subject to it and want to respond in a public way. Why don't you come and have a seat beside me while we're singing this.